Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. For improved health and wellness, go with your gut. Emerging research reveals that good digestion and a healthy digestive tract are dependent on beneficial bacteria, also known as probiotics. You don't have to buy special yogurt to add probiotics to your diet. Fermented foods like sauerkraut and kimchi also aid in digestion and improve your immune system. Once you learn the basics of fermenting, it can be a fun and inexpensive way to preserve food at home and add essential nutrients.
Amy Jean Roy is a newspaper editor, food writer, and co-author of the book Fermenting for Dummies, published earlier this year. She's been making and eating fermented foods for 20 years and shares her love of preparing food at home on her website, thefarmingwife.com. Amy joins us to explain the benefits of fermented foods and how you can try this at home with a few simple ingredients and equipment you already have. Hi, Amy. Welcome to Take Care, and thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
The process of fermentation has been around a long time as a natural way to preserve food, but there seems to be renewed interest in it, mainly for its health benefits. What is fermented food?
Fermented food is a natural process where your food, I always like to say that it decays with style, and you're actually keeping the food in a safe zone where you're not getting sick, but it's making the food more healthful because it's turning it from the raw process to partially, I don't want to say digested, but partially broken down, so it's easily assimilated by your body.
So it is what you add to the food that causes fermentation.
What happens is you are keeping your food, for instance, submerged under liquid so that when the food changes with the good bacteria, no bad bacteria can touch the food.
So what makes it so healthy? Why are there health benefits that people are talking about in the gut?
Well, one of the main benefits of fermentation is the enhanced digestion. So the food, once it's been fermented, is broken down in a way that there's more lactic acid in it, which makes it easier for your digestive tract to absorb the nutrients out of the food.
So actually, it's just skipping a step, and it's being done externally. So you're saying it aids digestion, and then we can benefit more from the nutrients. Is there anything it does in addition to that?
Well, naturally fermented foods add the probiotics or the good bacteria into your body. And our bodies, our healthy gut actually, is what makes a healthy body. And that improves all areas of your health, including your immune system. And fermented foods improve your digestion so that your body actually digests the other foods that you eat better, and it makes you healthier in that way.
So what's the connection then to the immune system? That's what I was wondering.
Well, our immune system, everything is connected in our body, and any doctor will tell you that. A healthy gut does equal a healthy body. So if you're eating food and assimilating all of the nutrients in that food properly, then your body is stronger and healthier, and it's able to ward off the bad bacteria and that makes you sick.
So let's say somebody listening to us right now says, okay, this sounds like something I might want to take on. What are some of the foods? And I know there are many, some have exotic names and we're unfamiliar with them. But if we wanted to start out and just slowly introduce some fermented foods into our diet on a daily or a regular basis, what would you recommend are the good starters?
Absolutely. There are a lot of foods that are sold in grocery stores, and many times people don't realize they're actually eating a fermented food in their everyday diet, or at least they've heard about these foods. Some examples of that are sauerkraut, yogurt, as long as they say that there's active live cultures, kimchi, kefir, kombucha. And those last two are actually drinks that are generally found pre-bottled in a grocery store. You don't need to go to a health food store specifically to get any of those. So if you look around or maybe ask the person that works at the grocery store, do you sell, you know, kefir or kombucha? And they'll say, oh, right over here. And they have a section, it's usually in the cold section. And you can buy that by the bottle, just like you would buy a bottle of water or a bottle of pop or something.
What kinds of quantities are we talking about for fermented foods? Because I will admit a bias. I'm half Japanese, and I grew up in a household where my mother would put a Japanese meal on the table, and there would be many, many, many small covered dishes. And I didn't realize it until much later, but they were all fermented foods. They were like pickled radishes, pickled cabbages, you know, but they went by, nobody ever said pickled or fermented. They went by their own names because they were literally dishes. But again, they were used sort of like side dishes or condiments, and we're talking just a few slices here and there. Do we need a lot?
No, you don't need a lot. And I also recommend when people are just starting to get into fermented foods to start slowly. And by slowly, I mean a quarter of a cup of a fermented food a day for the first week, and then you can increase it a bit. Some of the negative effects that you have from just starting fermented food aren't serious, but they are a little bit disconcerting. You can get excess gas, a little bit of bloating. You won't necessarily feel sick. You just feel a little bit uncomfortable, just like you do if you suddenly jump into eating, you know, homemade beans or something. So just start slow.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And our guest today is Amy Jeanroy, newspaper editor, food writer, and co-author of the book Fermenting for Dummies that was published earlier this year. And we're talking about how to gradually introduce some fermented foods into our diet. And one of my questions, is there anyone who should not eat fermented food for one reason or another?
I'm going to say no. I'm not a doctor, of course. But the only suggestion I would have for people is that if someone is allergic to a specific food, I'm thinking dairy perhaps, they may or may not be able to tolerate the fermented form of that dairy. Many people can, and that is a way that people who are allergic to or intolerant to dairy, that's a way to ferment the dairy and be able to ingest it. But it's something really you should suggest, you know, a conversation with your health practitioner.
We hear a lot on television commercials, particularly for probiotic yogurt, which sounds like a good idea. And there's an appealing spokeswoman. Many of us may remember who she is. But what is it about maybe that we should look at fermented foods versus probiotic yogurt? What are they adding to that stuff?
Well, you know, it's more along the lines of, is it a naturally fermented food or is it a food that they dump in a fermented beneficial probiotic to, which one is better? It's kind of the same thing of, is a vitamin better or is it better to eat the greens and get the same nutrients? Well, of course, it's better to eat the whole food than it is to eat the enhanced vitamin, and that's because it's better for your body, and there's got to be other things in the fermentation process that we haven't been able to, scientists haven't been able to pick out yet, but all of it works together to improve our health. So the probiotic yogurts, while they're not necessarily a bad thing, it's always going to be better to eat the natural yogurt that already has the probiotics kind of built in.
Maybe this is a tough thing to do in the remaining minute that we have left, but what about if someone would like to try to make it at home? What is the simplest, most foolproof fermented food we can make, and what do we need?
Absolutely. I would say yogurt, and you can use fresh whole milk or 2% maybe. Use a dollop of a actual plain yogurt that has the good bacteria in it, and then you keep it in a warm place, and you can find the temperature in many different places online, and it only takes a few hours, and you've made yogurt. It's very simple.
And I thought you were going to steer us toward cabbage and sauerkraut.
I was thinking that, but sometimes it's a little off-putting because sauerkraut can smell kind of funky. To me, it smells good, but if you aren't familiar with it, it bubbles and smells kind of strong, and people sometimes are a little bit afraid if it's on their kitchen counter doing that. It's very safe and very delicious, but it definitely is a process.
Amy Jeanroy is a food writer and co-author of the book Fermenting for Dummies. She also shares her love of preparing food at home on her website, thefarmingwife.com, and she's also got suggestions for other websites that have to deal with fermented food. Thank you so much for your time, Amy.
Thank you so much for having me.
For more on fermented foods and Amy Jeanroy, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org.
On next week's show, we'll have part two of our interview with Harvard sleep researcher Dr. Orfeo Buxton on getting a better night's sleep. Plus, a former CNN anchor shares his experience with hospice in caring for his terminally ill mother and tells us why talking to loved ones about end-of-life issues is essential.
Thanks for spending this half hour with us. If you have any questions or comments about today's show, email us at takecare@wrvo.org. This episode of Take Care is also available as a podcast on the WRVO website. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And until next time, take care.
The information presented on Take Care is offered for educational and informational purposes only and should not be construed as personal medical advice. You should consult with your personal physician or caregiver regarding your own medical care. Take Care is a production of WRVO Public Media, written and produced by Lorraine Rapp and Linda Lowen, edited and engineered by Leah Landry. Catherine Loper is executive producer. Support for Take Care comes from the Health Foundation for Western and Central New York.